If someone were to have told you in 1983 that the Budapest Festival Orchestra will be considered in the top 10 orchestras in the world, what would you have said to that person?
I never imagined that it would have this type of worldwide success. It's a great surprise. But what I had in mind, being 31 years old when I founded the orchestra, was an orchestra with a completely different philosophy, attitude, working ethics, and all that. And actually, I think it succeeded, maybe not 100%, but 80 or 90%. So it did succeed, but I never imagined that it would have so much success in the world, because success was not important. The important was the idealism we had.
The musicians have to buy into that vision too, though, right? So how do you, in the beginning, how did you foster that culture in the orchestra, and how do you continue that today?
I had a reform plan, like how to reform the symphony orchestra. This was my main thinking. Now, when you ask how the musicians react to that, people are very different, and one has to take every person individually. And I think there are musicians in this group who completely understand the purpose and are in harmony with the purpose. And there are others who are less aware of it, and there are others who are completely unaware of it. So it's a variety, and I talk to them individually, and one I try to convince, explain, the other one doesn't need any explanation. So it's like a family, like within a family where you talk about what shall we do next.
Mm-hmm. When was the orchestra last in Los Angeles, do you remember?
Absolutely. We were here in the 90s twice. My guess is that it was 94 and 98. And we had 2 weeks in the Hollywood Bowl, which were Hungarian weeks. We had 6 programs in 6 days. I mean, the great fun was that we played after the American national anthem, the Hungarian national anthem, but nobody in the audience knew what that is. So people sat down, then they stood up again. Oh, this must be the Hungarian national anthem. It was great fun.
Do you do that in this residency as well, play the Hungarian national anthem?
No, we don't do it this time, because that time was specifically a Hungarian week. We also had the Hungarian flag next to the American one on stage.
Yeah. Well, we will have to have you back here to perform in this concert hall. We're speaking in backstage of Walt Disney Concert Hall, so you rehearse on this stage, and I know there are a lot of folks here in Los Angeles who say, oh, it's too bad that, you know, the orchestra's not playing here, they're playing at the Hollywood Bowl, the acoustics are so much different, you know, but I like to remind those people that, you know, 6,000 people or more, 8,000 people, 10,000 people can hear the orchestra at the Bowl. You would have to do 3, 4, 5, 6 concerts here to reach that many people. So you're reaching a huge, huge audience.
I love the Disney Hall. I think this is one of the most successful halls of the new ones, of the new generation of concert halls. And I know it well. I worked here several times with the Los Angeles Philharmonic. I would love to bring the Budapest Festival Orchestra here. I believe in the Budapest Festival Orchestra. For me, it's the best of the world. And in this hall, it would sound magnificent.
Mm-hmm. You've been vocal, speaking out against intolerance and against specifically the government. Has that led to any challenges in terms of the orchestra's viability in Hungary?
I don't think I'm critical with the government or anybody. What I see in the world is a very exciting process. On one side, there are people who care for the globe, who care for the environment, who care for tolerance, for sharing the wealth with the poorer parts of the world. This is one side, and there is another side of the world who want to lock themselves up in single nations, make walls, and keep the old world order as it used to be. This is a very exciting discussion, and I think I belong more to the first thinking than to the second one, and I share my views. I think everybody should take part in this discussion.
But the choice to live in Berlin rather than in Budapest?
Well, that is partly because Berlin is a great open city. It's like New York of Europe now. And we have two sons, especially the second son is an important case because he's autistic and he's fantastically integrated in this school in Berlin. We don't want to change that. So it's partly of family reasons mm-hmm. that we moved there.
For an orchestra that performs concerts in abandoned synagogues around Budapest, it must be difficult, and also considering your family's history, it must be difficult to see the rise of anti-Semitism across Europe, here in the United States as well. That must be absolutely devastating for you.
I see it as part of a general tendency of intolerance. It can be targeted, Arab migrants, Roma people, all kinds of groups who are suppressed, who have difficulties. I'm a very simple person. I think a human being is a human being. It doesn't matter what is your skin color, which country you come from, which continent you come from. We are all exactly the same equal creatures, and this is how we should see the world. And I think ultimately people will understand that. Mm-hmm.
You mentioned your son with autism. I know Jaap van Zweden has a son on the autism spectrum as well. And you've been instrumental in developing, here in the States we call them sensory-friendly concerts. Is that must be a passion of yours. How do you make a space welcoming for someone on the autism spectrum?
There are various little tools or tricks. I can say one, for example. A person within the autistic spectrum is very grateful if he or she knows in advance what will happen next. So, for example, before we play the piece of music, in a very detailed form, I tell them what they will hear, what it will look like, so they feel more familiar, a little more secure, relaxed about what they experience.